Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Prince of Piss and People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday, back to the work week.
Ain't the end of the world supposed to be tomorrow? What's tomorrow?
It's going to be a snowstorm here on the East Coast.
Yeah, on the East Coast, northeast, they're saying. They're saying between, what, 10 and 15 inches?
I heard
almost April.
I heard 20.
You heard that money?
That's what they say, 20
I heard 12
inches.
To 18, but you know, I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be 20 in some places, mm-hmm. 12 in some places.
A lot of times snow is like penis size. Like, they over-exaggerate it until you actually see it. And it's like, oh, it's supposed to be 20, but it's only 10.
But you still have to brace yourself.
Yes, because you never know.
Stupid. Shout out to everybody that was in Austin, Texas. I was out in Austin, Texas over the weekend.
South by Southwest.
Right, this was the tech week. So it had nothing to do with music, all about people investing money into tech. And I had a great time. Shout out to Gary V. I was on a panel with Gary V and Ja Rule, and they were just talking about investing. And
that is the oddest panel ever.
It wasn't
Gary
actually.
Gary Vaynerchuk and Ja Rule?
Nah, they were just talking about tech companies. You know, Ja Rule has a tech company called Fire.
Mm-hmm. And he did was you talking get booked about through Fire?
For that? For no, not for that event. But he was talking about his company, how it started, how much money he was making. But it was a small room. It was about maybe 60 people, and the 60 people there were all millionaires from the ages 21 to 25, and they were just looking for things to invest. One lady owned a cupcake company. She was making $3 million a year. One other company has a company called Hooch, H-O-O-C-H.
And
what
liquor.
What they do is you pay $10 a month, and you get one free drink a day from various bars around the country. So that was dope.
Well, drop one of Clues Bombs for all my alcoholics out there with Hooch.
So investing, you know, a lot of young people out there making a lot of money being entrepreneurs. And then yesterday, I went to the Knicks-Nets game. It was Biggie night. They actually retired Biggie's jersey. Well, Biggie didn't have a jersey, but they retired a big jersey, number 72, and it will stay in the rafters forever. So,
72, shout out to Brooklyn. He was born, right?
The year he was born.
Okay.
I seen Little Kim was there, Faith Evans was there.
Oh, yeah, I saw a picture of you and Little Kim.
Diddy was there. Who else was there?
I saw a picture of Faith there. And Little Kim together as well. Well,
Miss
we also
Wallace
were in Jacksonville
there.
Over the weekend.
Yeah,
and then
Thursday.
I went to San Francisco. Let me tell you the cutest thing I did. So I did this Q&A panel. And it was a bunch of younger kids that all are interested in the music business. Some of them want to be singers, dancers. Some of them were really young, like 8 to 10 to 12, and then a little bit older. And then I got interviewed by these twins. They looked like they were about 8. It was the cutest little interview ever. But it was a good time.
I seen you holding a baby. I thought maybe you had your secret baby out there.
Oh, no. Actually, I hosted a birthday party for my boy Dio that lives out there. I think you did his birthday party last year also. Mm-hmm. And that was his girl and their baby.
Oh, I see you
together.
Carrying
so
that baby
all,
all around. I said, you got a little secret baby out in San Francisco.
No, we went out to eat, and I was holding the baby while we were eating.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
All right.
So
all right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, we'll tell you about the storm that's coming and what you need to know. I'm actually supposed to go to South by Southwest tomorrow
for
a panel with Billboard and Vivo.
Not going to happen.
But I don't know what that weather's going to be like.
I don't think you're getting out of here.
You're not leaving.
From what I heard.
I don't know.
They already started canceling flights.
I'm not going to lie. I wanted to go so bad.
Why don't you leave today?
I think you should leave today if
you leave
gonna
today if you're
going to
gonna go.
Down.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see what I can do. I might try to actually do
But you do
that.
Have a radio show to do in the morning.
I know, but
so.
Then I'm she nervous about there. Being able to get back. Because then I'm going to have issues coming back
decisions,
here.
Decisions.
But we'll discuss all of that.
All right.
Front page news.
You know we got guests this morning?
Yes, Sanaa Lathan will be joining us. How could I forget?
Sanaa Lathan and Stephon James, they got the new show Shots Fired on Fox, and that show is absolutely phenomenal.
It starts March 22nd, right? March 22nd.
I got the first 5 episodes for the low. Hit me if you want.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll talk to them next hour. And also, tell them why you're blessed. If you feel blessed, if it was your birthday or you had a child or you just had a good weekend, 800-585-1051. Whatever it may be, call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got to say good morning to our newest family member, Foxy 99, the Big Stick.
Oh, man.
Fayetteville's number one choice for hip-hop and R&B. Welcome
Drop
to the family,
one
guys.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Fayet Nam, damn it. The home of Mr. J. Cole.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the family, guys.
Yeah, salute to Fayetteville.
Now, let's get in front page news. Tell us about this blizzard.
Well, right now we are preparing for a major winter storm here in the Northeast. New York City, Southern Connecticut, and Boston are under a blizzard watch. There's snow and powerful winds expected in New York City. There could be as many as 18 inches of snow. Now in the Midwest, they've already been getting some snow as well. So if you're flying out anywhere, just make sure that you pay attention, see what's going on, see if your flight is going to make it out.
See, this is why we all have to get our lives in order.
Why?
Because we all need to have what they call ISDN lines at the house.
Explain to the people what that is.
ISDN lines are when you can do your radio show from almost anywhere.
From home.
Okay, and I can do it from home.
Wake up out the bed and just do your show.
Tomorrow we're going to be trying to kill ourselves, literally, to get here to do a show for y'all, damn it.
Well, our job did say we could stay at a hotel.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time
right
for that.
Here.
Then you end up getting stuck in the city. And
we got families.
I got families in Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got 5 kids. Now let's talk about Donald Trump.
So Donald Trump, today's a deadline for the Justice Department to show wiretap evidence. And that's because Donald Trump was tweeting last week that President Obama, when he had actually wiretapped his phones when he was a president. So we don't know what's going to happen. Donald Trump has never produced any type of information to support those claims. So right now, today is the last day for any evidence to be turned over.
So what happens if he can't produce evidence?
He should apologize. He should retract.
Is this a get down and lay down type of situation? Will he be punished if he can't?
Well, they want the Justice Department to publicly denounce that claim that Donald Trump made against former President Barack Obama.
Will Barack Obama sue him for defamation of character?
He should.
Probably not. I don't think he'll sue the president.
He definitely should. He definitely can do that. All right. And this story actually broke my heart. Now, this happened about 3 years ago when she was 14 years old. A 14-year-old girl was being held at a motel in Philadelphia, and she was allegedly forced to have sex with 1,000 men over 2 years. When she was only 14 years old, she was forced into sex slavery. And right now, she's devastated. She's in therapy. She's 17 years old, but she wants the hotel to pay for what happened to her. Now, according to her lawyer, there's no way that employees could not know what was going on. You have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to know that over 100 men are showing up over a period of a couple of days. That's what her attorney said. You have a cleaning crew that comes into the room, oftentimes finds boxes or waste cans full of used condoms. This is about as open and obvious as it gets. It's the motel basically looking the other way.
Yeah, people minding their business. That's what that was.
For 2 years, though, 1,000 men coming and going for a 14-year-old girl crazy. In the room. There's no way nobody thought anything was crazy.
I mean, I would call the police because the person got a hotel room there for 2 years. Unless it's some type of residency or something. Why you got a hotel room for 2 years?
It's probably one of those
motels.
It's
probably motel. Chabot,
yeah, it is
cheap
a motel.
Motel.
Yeah. Mm. You know, sometimes people, like, live in those.
A lot of people live in motels sometimes. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Well, that's front page news. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Again, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. You know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you're mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, y'all. This is Cheryl. Hi, Charlamagne.
Hey, Cheryl.
You remind me of my uncle. I always say that, right?
I'm Uncle Charla. That's what they call
That's
me.
That's right.
Why are you mad, Mama?
All right, I'm mad, y'all. First of all, I'm at work. I work a lot, y'all. I work in detox. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, y'all, I'm always in scrubs. So when my boyfriend see me, y'all, I'm in scrubs. I'm never like, I don't have time to like get fly, get cute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I might do my hair, stuff like that, but that's about it, y'all. Long story short, I'm walking with him on Lenox Avenue the other day.
Brooklyn.
Coming from work.
Lenox Avenue in Brooklyn?
Oh, no, in Harlem.
I was like, what?
In Harlem. And, he saw somebody else he knew. Now, I had on scrubs. But he saw another girl he liked, y'all. And he going to pull the other chick to the side. He going to say, let me talk to you for a minute. Let me ask you something. And I'm standing there like I'm nobody, I'm not messing with him no more, y'all. Because if he can't
talk to another girl right in front of you?
In front of me now.
First of all, the old
me would have punched him in the face. But the new me is like, I got a career. If you want to be a bird, I'm off you. And I'm not never coming back.
And I bet you that other chick ain't got no goddamn job.
Nope, and her bills is probably all tacked up.
See what I'm saying?
Right, and it's, it's income tax, so these bitches, excuse my language, y'all. These chicks out here got their little Uggs on, they looking fly, but my tax money goes on bills. That's what it's all about, right?
He need to get his priorities in order, okay?
I just want to say shout out to Monty from 114. I'm over you.
Damn, wow. You're dead out here, Monty. You canceled.
Damn it, man. Hello, who's this?
This is Scott Seymour.
Hey, tell him why you mad.
I'm mad because of daylight savings time. It got me all twisted and combobulated.
Me too. I could not sleep last night.
Oh, word. I know. And I'm mad because Charlamagne dissed me on Thursday. He don't want to hear my bars.
Go ahead. Do something right now.
I don't want to hear
As one mind sharpens one mind, metal sharpens metal. Devil creates devil lyrics, level the levy. Pushing on the pedal, I'm sick and the rebel me is heavily deadly. Sweaty soaked sheets, these demons creep in my sleep.
Sorry,
my name is Scott. I'm marked by God. Just because I feel no man, that don't make me hard. Hated by
hey,
many.
Hey, bro. Listen, it's the start.
Right.
It's the start of a new work week. Today is a great day to look for a job.
Yes.
Right now. J-O-B.
Hello, who's this?
Xavier,
why you mad, bro?
You sound sad.
I'm mad because I live in Austin, Texas.
I love Austin,
and it's
Texas.
South by Southwest. And all these people coming down here, man, the traffic is horrible.
The traffic is bad.
I'm supposed to be there tomorrow.
Where are you going to be?
She ain't going to be there. Not with this Northeastern on the East Coast.
I ain't mad no more, man, because you coming down here.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it out there, see what I could do.
She ain't making it.
She ain't making it.
No, hell no.
I mean, it's supposed to be a bad snowstorm here starting tonight, but not till late.
Well, you need to go ahead and make your way out here.
Well, I'm glad you're not mad anymore.
You gonna buy her a ticket?
I have a ticket.
Yeah,
I'll buy all three of y'all a ticket.
Okay.
You know what you got to do for that, guys.
I'll show y'all the Texas money.
No, nope, you guys be expecting something when y'all fly people out.
My goodness. All right, bro.
All right, man.
He ain't say no.
Yeah, he say no. 805-851-051 now. Tell them why you're blessed. If you feel blessed, you want to spread your blessings. Maybe it's your birthday.
Spread
them. Maybe you had a great weekend. Whatever it may be, 805-851-051. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Okay. Are you blessed and highly favored?
I feel blessed.
Tell the congregation at 800-585-1051.
This is a celebration.
It's The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, Breakfast Club, what's good? It's Tony.
Tony, tell them why you blessed this morning, bro.
I am blessed because I was in the Marines for 6 years. I went to Afghanistan in 2012. I came home, got my mom her apartment, and now I just got a good job in the construction union, so I'm blessed. I'm feeling good.
There you go. Salute to you. You're a veteran, right? We call you a veteran, right?
He's a veteran.
Yes, sir.
Well, I like to hear about our veterans doing good because America treats our veterans so... I started to say the S word, but so Liddy, that
bad
rhymes
sometimes.
With...
Absolutely. He gets it.
Badly.
Well, have a good day, bro.
All right, thanks.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? It's C-Boogie from the Bronx.
Tell me why you blessed him, bro.
The refinance went through, so it's a good luck.
There you go. You lowering the interest rate, right?
Yeah, well, I locked in early, so I lucked out because interest rates are real high right now. They keep going up, so I locked when we were pretty low.
Good, good, good. All right, well, enjoy it. You in the threes or fours, low fours?
I'm still 4.3, but it's not bad because...
They have 4.8 right now.
It's not bad because it's at 4.8. It's probably going to hit 5 soon, so I'm saving money every day. Plus, today's my new job, too, so I'm back at 75, so it's good luck.
All right, bro.
All right, thanks, man.
Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? We live?
We live?
Oh, man. Who's on here? I hear two people on the phone.
It's three of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I am from South Carolina. Camden, South Carolina, population 20,000.
There you go.
I'm going to tell y'all why I'm
Camden ain't got no damn 20,000 people. Stop it. Lying ass.
Well, tell them why you're blessed, guys.
Hey, I'm blessed because right now I'm in L.A., man. I'm in room 510 of this undisclosed hotel. The dude next door to me in room 508 was knocking on my door, banging on my joint. And talking about he's making noise, so I ran down on him, and I ain't get kicked out of my hotel, so I'm blessed right now, because I didn't get kicked out of my hotel. I ain't homeless right now, you know what I mean?
Y'all having a threesome in there?
We having a good time.
All right, I see you playing.
Hey, hold on.
What is going on?
Bob, we having a threesome.
What?
Are you sucking farts out her butt?
Yeah.
I know that sound anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, but I want y'all to know we have not let this distract us from the sound.
What sound?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Bodies.
Yes.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
In the middle of the threesome, that's what y'all thinking about.
Hey, man, don't let nothing distract you from the fact that Remy Ma body Nicki Minaj over the Sheetha instrumental, hit her with another one, and she replied with a whack-ass record called No Frost.
I remember when Ray J called in for that classic.
What is going on?
That was the number two hip hop moment of all time.
Hey, somebody told me they randomly bumped into Ray J in LA, like almost hit him with the car, and they were like, "Oh shoot, Ray J, we live."
Well, have a good.
There's a lot going on.
Have a good day, guys. Wear condoms.
They having a great time.
They love y'all.
Love you too.
Okay.
Hey man, they having a good time, man. It's Monday.
All right. Tell them why you're blessed. 800-585-1051. Yee, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, Floyd Mayweather. He says that he is out of retirement. We'll tell you what happened. Also, Young Dolph, we told you last week about the wild shootout that happened at CIAA. Well, now he has a new album coming, and we'll tell you what it's called.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Floyd Mayweather Jr. has said that he is coming out of retirement. I guess we all anticipated this happening, right?
Yeah, we knew this.
Didn't feel like he had retired at all. And here's what he said.
I'm coming out of retirement just to fight Conor McGregor. I don't want to hear no more excuses about the money, about the UFC. Sign a paper with the UFC so you can fight me in June. You blowing smoke up everybody's ass. If you want to fight, sign the paperwork. Let's do it.
This gonna be good.
I don't see the point of this fight.
Why not?
Number one, I thought y'all wasn't supporting any black people who are down with Trump.
People still buy Yeezys.
Yeah, so you pick and choose.
Yeah.
You boycott Chrishell Michelle, but you never was listening to her to begin with.
Well, she's the only one that caught it because, I mean...
She's the only one?
Well, Kanye has deleted all his support for Donald Trump now.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So,
y'all still watch Family Feud, right?
Changed his mind.
Yeah, they still support Steve Harvey.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Steve Harvey, damn it. I'm just trying to figure this out, okay?
Well, I don't know that Steve Harvey voted for Trump.
They just said he was a good guy.
I just want to know who y'all fake outraged with this week. That's all.
All right. Now, if you remember, Conor McGregor had said that Floyd was actually ducking him. Here's what he had said in Vegas.
Floyd says he's down to do the fight, but
Floyd's a bitch.
I know that.
And he's petrified.
I understand that.
I flew to Las Vegas, and he didn't show his face. As soon as I touched down in Las Vegas, he retired twice.
By the way, let's be clear about one thing. Floyd Mayweather is now 40 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right. He just had his birthday.
Conor McGregor is one of those crazy-ass UFC fighters. If Floyd thinks that Conor is going to follow the rules, he's out of his mind. Conor might just come out there and roundhouse kick him for no damn reason.
And then he'll lose the fight.
He'll lose the fight.
So what? You think he cares? Do you think Conor McGregor really cares whether or not he loses this fight?
I think he wants to fight.
Because number one, he's not even fighting his fight. Conor McGregor grapples. He does everything.
But he's been doing training for boxing for the last 3 months.
And listen, always remember Apollo, when he fought the Russian, that was an exhibition fight, too. I think this is pointless.
That was fake.
Floyd Mayweather.
All right, now let's discuss Yara Shahidi from Black-ish. First of all, I think Yara Shahidi is a great example for all the young ladies out there.
Absolutely.
And she talks about how Michelle Obama actually wrote her recommendation for college. How exciting is that?
That's if dope. You get in.
She told W Magazine
you gonna get in.
That she assisted her in her college applications. She said she's very amazing and such a supporter, which is something very surreal to say. She also said wherever she ends up, she plans to double major in sociology and African American studies. She says, I've gotten a lot of questions about if it's scary to be on a public platform given the current administration and given that I'm a black Iranian. She said, I say that to say companies that are still supporting individuality, that are still supporting self-empowerment are so crucial.
I heard she's getting a spinoff show.
Yep.
That would be dope. It's going to be her dope. Going off to college, especially if the college is a black college. We need another different world type vibe out here.
She's Absolutely. Only 17 years old. I actually met her when we were in Miami and we were going to show some support for Hillary Clinton. So really smart young lady. All right, Young Dolph. He is going to be releasing an album called Bulletproof. And that's going to address, obviously, the shooting that just happened and whoever was responsible for that shooting that took place on February 25th at CIAA weekend. If you remember, he did an interview, and here's what he said about the shooting.
Whatever was going on, they couldn't do it. They couldn't. In Memphis, it's a thing called people tricking people out the streets, get people unfocused on what they're doing. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dolph built himself up and built himself into becoming a superstar, and all that us throw Dolph off right quick. He doing too much. Come on now, man. The city can't say, they mentioned Memphis, they say, Dolph, we can't be on now. He doing too much. Don't get mad at me when I'm doing my thing.
I think Young Dolph needs to be a little more specific with his album title.
Well, last week, they did say that they were close to arresting somebody, on the verge of arresting somebody with the shooting. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the track listing. Did you see it for Bulletproof?
Mm-mm.
It's 10 songs. It's supposed to come out on April Fool's Day. And the songs are as listed. 100 Shots.
Okay.
In Charlotte. But I'm Bulletproof. So F them.
That's not real.
That's how I feel.
That's not real. It's not real. It's coming out on April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. That's not real.
I would hope not.
That's not real. That's not real. I wouldn't even name my album Bulletproof. I might name my album Bulletproof Truck.
Bulletproof Truck.
Because you yourself, Young Dolph, are not Bulletproof.
He hit me over the weekend, dude, checking up on me. He was like, I'm just checking up on you. I'm like, no, I need to check up on you. He's good.
Didn't you call him to check on him, too?
Mm-hmm.
That's not his album. There's no way. It's coming out April 1st, April Fool's Day. Like, no. Stop it.
You think he's making April Fool's Day jokes about getting his truck shot up?
Yes. Look at that track list. That track list don't even sound real. Bulletproof in Charlotte. Like, come on, man. No. Stop it.
It was a true story.
All right, Kim Kardashian. On the next week's episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the premiere was on Sunday.
I didn't know that was still on.
I know.
13
the season
seasons.
Premiere just came on yesterday, and that's where Tristan Thompson was introduced to the family.
Oh, boy.
But next week, Kim Kardashian will be talking about what went down with the Paris robbery. Check out a preview.
They asked for money. I said I don't have any money. They dragged me out to the hallway on top of the stairs. That's when I saw the gun, like, clear as day. And I was kind of looking at the gun, looking down back at the stairs. And I was like, I have a split second in my mind to make this quick decision. Like, am I going to run down the stairs and, like, either be shot in the back? Like, it makes me so upset to think about it. But, like, either they're going to shoot me in the back, or if I make it and they don't, if the elevator does not open in time or the stairs are locked, then, like, I'm
Why would they ask for money? I thought they came specifically for a diamond.
They wanted everything. They wanted money, diamond, jewelry, everything. They were trying to get everything.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Sanaa Lathan will be joining us.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building. We have Sanaa Lathan.
Hello, hello.
And Stephon James. What's
up, guys? Is it Stephon or Steven?
Stephon.
It's Stephon.
Yeah.
Oh, like you want your fancy Negroes.
Like Marbury. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. He speaks French.
He speaks French?
Yep. A little bit.
You Haitian?
A little bit.
Actually, I'm from Toronto, so Canada, French is the second language. We got to do it.
I thought Jamaican was the second language in Toronto.
Jamaican's not a language.
Jamaican's not a language.
It's the Caribbean. Patois.
Yeah. Is that patois?
What is it?
Patois.
Patois.
The S is silent. I'm sorry for Charlamagne already.
What did really? I
do? You just said he speaks Jamaican.
Jamaican? That, never mind. They're here to talk about shots fired.
He is Jamaican.
Yeah. Now let's talk about shots
fired. Jamaican.
Fire.
Boop, 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 boop.
No, it's not that type of shots fired.
We did actually get the opportunity to see the first episode.
Oh, you did?
They sent it to us.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I got the first five.
You did?
I got the first five, too.
I got the first two.
Okay. Yeah. What'd y'all think of it?
I think it's really good. It's interesting. It shows people of color in positions of power in the justice system. That's something you don't see too often. So I was wondering, who did y'all like research for the role?
Oh, gosh. We had so much research laid out for us. The creators, Gina Prince-Bythewood and Reggie Rock-Bythewood, they're a married couple. Gina wrote and directed Love and Basketball.
Wow.
So I had a long relationship with her. But they have so much integrity. And they really are amazing writers. I researched a woman who actually had the job of my character. Her name was Francesca, and she was an investigator with the DOJ. And she had many, many years in law enforcement. She went undercover in the cartels and in Mexico. And I did mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
To try to get into the mind of a fighter, you know.
Was she a woman of color?
She was Latina. Yeah, she's Latina, yeah.
Because I would think it would be totally, like, different for a person of color to be in that position, especially now in this climate. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. You know? I had dealt with lots of racism and sexism. Also talked to a female cop who worked in L.A., a black woman, who wrote a book, and she spent a lot of time with her, and she talked about how it was so hard on the force for her as a black woman that she was suicidal at one point.
Wow, you think about how hard it is to be a black police officer, but then it's a whole another level to be a black woman.
Yes, because you're dealing with the sexism, you know, which is real.
How hard was it to do this part? Because, I mean, it was the roles were flipped at what we usually hear. Usually it's a young African-American man or a young African-American boy killed. This time it was a white boy killed with a black cop. And with everything going on in this world, it seems like we put light on that, but not on the other subject.
Well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you watch the show, that is the way in. Mm. So the show is really about this murder that happens. Mm-hmm. Stephon and I go down to North Carolina to investigate the murder of this white kid by the black cop played by Mac Wilds.
Now, Stephon, you a cop?
I'm not a cop.
They whooped your ass in the first episode. I was like, he ain't pull his gun out of
nothing. You're a prosecutor. Are you a prosecutor?
He's a prosecutor.
Oh, that's why she kept telling you stay in your place. And
new, too. He's kind of a rookie prosecutor.
Kind of green, exactly. Right. But, I mean, go back to what you were saying. You know, when I read the character, I really hadn't seen anybody like Preston on television or in film, for that matter of fact. You know, a young African-American prosecutor tasked with something so heavy. So for me, it was like, damn, I get to do this for the first time. Like, I've never seen anybody do this. And I actually got to talk with Eric Holder, who's the, you know, former AG, Attorney General for the United States. And, you know, he was so really instrumental to me in, like, creating the whole character. Because, you know, I really wanted to find somebody who had risen to that level of success. I think Preston has, you know, he wants to be an Eric Holder one day. He wants to be a Barack Obama one day. Mm-hmm. So for me, hearing about his struggle and his journey, you know, what his blackness meant through all that, you know, him being conscious of his blackness and so aware of his blackness, even standing next to the President of the United States, you know what I mean? So for me, that was very helpful.
I think a lot of people, especially black people, were a little taken aback and a little kind of surprised that it was about a white kid getting shot. When we have so many black men and women getting murdered in this country, that's not what it's about. That's the way in. So we go to North Carolina, and that is what we are assigned to investigate. And in the course of investigating that, we discover another murder that's happening that's not being investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's of a black boy. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, it kind of tracks how these two different murders, a white kid and a black kid, and how the justice system treats those cases differently.
Mm. Right,
so
yeah.
it's bigger than that. Unfortunately, the first trailer that came out kind of didn't.
Whole,
yeah.
Nah,
didn't
but you
did so
the first episode, though.
No, I'm saying
the
they made it just about
the white guy.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's about.
So you get to track at the same time how this investigation is going.
Yeah.
Perhaps how this one was covered
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
But one of the women even tells you that. She goes, all these young black kids getting murdered out here by police, and this
yes.
is the one they
exactly.
choose to investigate.
Yes.
Exactly.
But you've seen the first episode, but in the trailer, yeah. I don't think it had that. It just showed the white boy getting
well,
killed.
That was the first trailer that came out.
It
but
wasn't
then,
a good first trailer.
Yeah. We were not happy with the first trailer.
That's okay. intriguing, though. I like the white boy getting shot because I feel like it'll make yeah. people look at those cases differently.
And exactly. that is exactly why they did it. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, what unfortunately, because so many of us have been getting murdered and mm-hmm. are getting murdered still, there's a little bit of desensitive, you know, you
yes,
don't want people to be
I
like,
agree.
Oh,
again,
mm-hmm. again,
right.
they're not
going
right.
to do anything.
They had to make
yeah.
a TV show about this?
Yeah, exactly.
You see this all the time.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. When Mack Wilds is up here, he said that it was difficult for him at times filming. He would look at his cop uniform, and he said one day he actually broke down, like crying,
yeah.
just watching what was happening on the news while filming this.
Yeah.
Were there any things that happened while you guys were filming this where you felt like, man, this is so heavy for me today, like in my head?
He told yeah. me on the low he was just crying to get sympathy from you, too. So
he just said he cried in your arms.
He just wanted a hug.
Oh, really?
He did not say that.
You did that, too?
Yeah.
Good job.
I was giving out hugs. So, yeah, you can... Yeah.
Well, you know what? To me personally, I found it hard because being a prosecutor in this show, having to sit across from Mack Wilds and prosecute him, mm-hmm. you know, as a black man, you know, that was something I also had to be conscious about. You know what I mean? I talked to Eric Holder about, you know, what would that mean? You know, having to really... You know, they only brought me into this case because I was black and they felt like, mm-hmm. you know, in this climate, that's the only way it could really get done. This guy could get prosecuted was if a black lawyer came in and did it.
There were days... where I think the month of July, which was one of the months we were shooting, there were like a record number of murders by police. And there was one day that we came to set and literally had to do a prayer circle before we started shooting because we were just all stunned and destroyed from yet another, was it Philando?
I think it was Philando, yeah.
It was
yeah.
Philando, like the night before, and it was all over the news. And here we are working on the subject. So it was really intense at times, and then it also gave another level to the work of like, okay, we got to really do this right.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, it's important for the time that we're living in right now.
All right, we got more with Sanaa Lathan and Stephon James. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Sanaa Lathan and Stephon James in the building. Charlamagne?
Does it make you look at cases different? Like, do you feel like... Because Mack Wilds said he understood police a little bit more and
yeah.
what they go through.
I would think so. I mean, you know, this show really gives the audience a perspective from so many different seats in the house. You know what I mean? You
mm-hmm.
really get to see it from so many different angles and perspectives. And, you know, maybe you don't necessarily agree with an angle or perspective, but you can understand it. You can understand it and you can appreciate why somebody would feel a certain type of way. So I don't think that this story really plays to one side. It really offers a broad look into it from all sorts of different perspectives.
And the goal,
what about for you, Sanaa?
The goal, I think, is to create compassion and empathy. I mean, that's what we need right now.
True.
There's so much division and so much, you know, I mean, with this new administration, there's so much... like just vitriol and hatred right now. And you know what? It's been there. It's been under the surface. It's coming to the surface now. I think that that's ultimately going to be a good thing because I think it's going to bring us together and it's mm-hmm. going to make us have conversations and ultimately, hopefully, make us realize that we are the human race. I mean, come on.
It's kind of like the mirror effect. You're putting the mirror on people, especially when the
yes.
white mother was crying over her son and
exactly.
had to pick out the dress shirt. I'm like, yeah, now she maybe people can understand how mothers feel.
Yeah, and there's a long legacy of artists. You know, Nina Simone said that she believes the artist's responsibility is to reflect the times. And there's a long legacy, especially of black artists, from Langston Hughes to Zora Neale Hurston to Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote Raisin in the Sun, Alice Walker, James Baldwin.
Tupac.
Yes, Tupac. who used their art to kind of galvanize a movement. And so, you know, there's something to be said. It's, yes, it is entertainment, but, you know, we can, I think, hopefully help raise consciousness.
So Shots Fired is 10 episodes, and then after that...
10 hours.
They didn't allow us to use the word episode.
Okay.
Because they're really thinking of it as a movie.
It's a long film. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It broken up into 10 parts.
Right.
10 hours. And then after that, so does that mean there's going to be, like, another season, or is that just the end of the 10-hour special?
Yes, that's the end of the 10-hour special. But, you know, as Brian Grazer said, you know, you never know. Mm-hmm. You know, and... there could be another, it could be a sequel. It would be like a mm-hmm. sequel to a movie. So.
Now, is Shots Fired actually trying to help, or is it just profiting off the current climate of the country?
The reason this even started, Reggie Bicewood was watching the Zimmerman trial with his son like 5 years ago. And his son was literally had tears in his eyes when he saw that Zimmerman got off, mm-hmm. the Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. And so he had that first conversation with him about, you know, everything about our history, and he showed him a documentary on Emmett Till, and the son wrote a beautiful poem, and that was the seed of this mm-hmm. project. That was 5 years ago. There's no profiting. There's synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a lot of shows now kind of ripping things from the headlines, but there were days we were on set and it was like we had chills, and yeah. because we're like, this is crazy that the scene that we're dealing with right now is really something that's
going on.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how it works out with your daughter as well, because usually you see African-American men losing their kids.
Oh.
But yeah.
But now you, it looks like you're about to lose your yeah. daughter, you know, which was kind
of... Oh, I was so mad change. When his girlfriend was trying
I
to tell
know.
You.
Oh,
you did with your daughter.
You didn't see the paperwork coming yet.
You didn't look like a deadbeat in the first episode. You were dead from the street. You're like, tell her I'll call her tomorrow.
Is that how she sounded?
Yeah, tell her I'll call her tomorrow.
Tell her I'll call her tomorrow.
What's your name, your character again?
Press.
Now, Press, you didn't want none of Ash. She's flirting with you and she thought you was gay.
I mean, yes, she did. kind of offended me, low-key. But, you know, I think Preston, he came in and he was so focused on his job. You know what I mean? And he has this competitive nature about him.
Oh, you smashed the other chick, though.
I did. I had to.
Wow.
But that was more of a revenge thing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, she was messing around with my brother, and I was like, man, I feel like I got to do something.
that's what man, like, she's kind of like your boss on there, it feels like.
Kind of.
Well, just know. Wait. Just wait, because, you know, just like I said, our characters go through a big arc, and we do spend a lot of time together.
Okay. Absolutely.
So, you know, right around... Mm. hour four, you may sense a little, may or may not see some sexual tension.
You're a little sexy.
Yeah,
you grab him with somebody's belt, taking his clothes off.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
And plus, we know you get kinky because you told your ex, you know, you can't get me out of your head. I know the stuff you like. So I know he likes some yeah. weird stuff yeah. when you say things like that. That means yeah, I do
you
things to you.
His wife.
What?
He told his wife, I'll give you a hysterectomy with my fist.
What is your mind? What is your...
I was like, that's a weird line. He was like, you do it, and I'll give you a hysterectomy with my fist. I was like, what?
Now, everybody talks about behind the scenes in Hollywood, you know, how mm-hmm. traditionally it's been really difficult for black actors in this business. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like things are getting so much better? Like, you know, watching the Oscars after last year's Oscars So White movement, and then all these TV shows now, it feels like there's more roles available, but behind the scenes, do you feel like things are improving for people?
I personally think it's improving. I mean, I think television is probably a little further along than film is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Television is really doing a great job of diversity. You know, they're realizing how much success some of these black shows
yes.
have.
Yes. Right.
Hey, really thank God for Empire.
Thank God for Empire.
People say what they want about Empire. Empire kicked that door down.
Exactly. So true.
And now, you know, you got Star that could do what it's doing. It's going to second season.
Mm-hmm.
And you got shows like Shots Fired that people are now...
you know, welcoming and embracing. You know, they know that people want to see these type of stories.
And then you see Get Out did so well in the box.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
I haven't seen it yet either. I'm done.
I think it helps when it's people like you on the screen tonight. Like when it's you and it's the Taraji's. People like we grew up watching, and now it makes us feel more familiar when we turn the television on.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I've been doing it for 20 years now.
Really?
Imagine that.
It started when I was 2.
By the way, the way you look, we believe you.
Oh. Okay. There was rumors that you were pregnant at one time.
That was just a meal.
I'm not a skinny girl, never have been a skinny girl, and I like to eat, and I'm not going to starve myself. I'm going to live my life,
and, you know, sometimes I get a bad angle, and the blogs are the blogs, and people just, you know, they like a story for a minute. You know, being in this business is such a blessing, but you got to know, all y'all got to know that it is no joke.
Right.
The business is hard because all eyes are on you. Everybody's a critic. And as a woman, you know, not only it's like now it's like on duty, off duty. Mm-hmm. Every picture now in the age of social media, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's so you have to develop a steel exterior. You have to get to the point where you just laugh about shit and
right.
It rolls.
You can't
off
go out without a little makeup on because you're like, oh
yeah,
man, she
you
fell off. Like,
oh yeah, she
crazy.
Fell off. Right, exactly.
Or like if you want somebody wants to take a picture and you're like, well, I don't really look.
Yeah,
very
oh yeah,
good.
She's a bitch.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
You can't do anything.
Right.
What plays more of a role? Is it gender or your race for you in Hollywood?
Probably race, mm-hmm. but. Yeah, I feel like it's getting better. I mean, I would like it to. I think there's a lot more work to be done. Oscars, yes, there were a lot of us at Oscars, and yet it's still. If you look at the movies that are coming out, it still doesn't reflect the melting pot of this world that we live in. I want Hollywood to reflect the world that we're living in. Mm-hmm. TV is definitely getting better. And you know, when I was coming up, I was very fortunate to kind of have a steady build, and I could name like 3 other black actresses that were working at the time, and now, you know, I don't even know all of them.
Right.
So it's definitely, I have to say it is getting better.
All right, we got more with Sanaa Lathan and Stephon James when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Sanaa Lathan in the building. Yeah.
It's good that you have some real friends in the business, though.
Yeah.
Like to see you out with Gabrielle Union, and you guys have always been so tight.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like sometimes it is competitive mm-hmm. at the same time, cause I'm sure a lot of times people are going up for the same roles.
Yeah.
But it's so important to have like a strong network of people.
It is. And you know, the role of a actor is a very specific role, road. And then the road of a black actor is a specific road. And then the road of a black female actress is even more specific. So it's great to have people who, you know, when you want to cry and you can't get up off the floor, which, you know, I can guarantee you every one of us has gone through that. You have somebody who really understands
mm-hmm.
and, you know, who you can talk to about that. So, yeah.
But, you know, you have family in the business, too. So I'm sure you get extra guidance. Too.
Yeah, that's the one thing. People always think, a lot of people have said that there was nepotism involved. I will go on the record and say I have never worked with my father until 2 years ago on The Real Husbands.
Your father's a big dog, Stan Lee.
Yeah, he's kind of a...
Didn't he run PBS or something?
No, he was literally kind of like the first black director in television.
And you said the first time you worked with him was 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little nepotism.
That's what I want to say. What's wrong with nepotism? White people do it all the time.
No, I don't think... There just wasn't... Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Stephon.
I got you, babe.
Thank you. So that's the one thing that I think I did have an advantage when I was coming in. You know, when there were those days, you know, he was like, just keep it up. Just mm-hmm. keep doing your best work. You know, just keep persisting.
Right.
You know.
Now, Stephon, you've been having a nice upward mobile career, too.
Yeah.
You know, from you starting off in Toronto, and we've seen you as Jesse Owens. We've seen you in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in Shots Fired. So what was your most challenging role so far?
Probably playing Jesse.
Because you had to run.
Yeah, because I really had to run, you know. In the beginning, they were like, we want to get you this stunt double. And I was like, man, like, I don't want to have to, you know, use stunts. I want the director to have the freedom to shoot from wherever he wants to. So, actually, while I was doing Selma, every day I had off on Selma, I would be training for Race because I was literally right after. So I went down to Georgia Tech and started training with them. So there's the training, have to make sure you're physically in that space. But then, you know, when you're doing period, you got to make sure that you're in that space too. So learning about Jesse, his story, mm-hmm. his back history, you know, those were the things that you know, it was a tough shoot for me.
We did. You're gonna need a detox from white people in a minute. Between that, the Jesse Owens and Shaq Fox.
I know. Been a lot of tough, challenging roles, but. Yeah, that's probably the biggest so far.
Just can't wait for y'all to see what he does in Shots Fired. He's so good.
Were you intimidated by Sanaa?
Sanaa.
Were you intimidated?
Definitely not. You know, honestly, Sanaa.
Wow, damn. Damn.
Sanaa, like,
you see how she looks?
You were shaking when you met
her. Yeah.
He lying.
You know, we met a few times before actually starting to work.
Yeah, we had to do some chemistry auditions, and he's the lead of this show, and it's a big responsibility, and so there was a lot of competition. So, and we had to read a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely not. She's such a warm, kind person. She's like always super, super happy and. You know, hippie-ish, so it wasn't
she
like...
She had a weird laugh. Not weird, but
yeah,
it just...
she does, right?
Weird?
It don't sound
what
like it would come from
about?
You. I'm like, who is that laughing like
but
that?
You don't know me.
That's true.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not...
Yeah.
No.
See how Negroes do?
No, yeah.
Oh, we just had this conversation about black people gassing stuff.
I know, people, you know, I like having privacy.
Gotcha.
And people don't really realize that a lot of what you think somebody is what you're projecting from roles. Those are roles.
Right. Like, I think you're like a great basketball player.
Editor of a magazine.
Editor of a magazine.
I always wanted to see a Brown Sugar tuba.
Everybody does.
I think there's room for that. Just
everybody wants, every movie Sanaa has been in, everybody wants a part two. They're like, when are you going to do a part two?
Brown Sugar 2 could work, though. Just to see where you and Dre went, what happened, how did the marriage work out. Little hip-hop babies. Where are the black love stories? Like the
I was
the
just
loving
telling
basketball
Gina that.
Brown Sugars.
We need some more. Right. We need some more love stories, right?
Not
it
like
was like the 90s, yeah. And now it's like...
Everything got real hard.
Yeah.
And now everything's real racy.
Yeah.
It's not enough love stories.
I think, we should do like a grown and sexy.
Brown
like
Sugar
mahogany
too.
Mahogany or something.
Like a perfect guy, but not a weirdo.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever had like a stalker situation like that? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure when somebody starts dating Sanaa, they're like, all right, this is cool. And they're not going to let it go. Even if you're like, peace to you. They're probably like, no, hold on. How can we make this work?
You probably have celebrity stalkers.
Yeah, French Montana's a little stalkerish.
No, that's so funny. You like that one.
Look at him. He's just like, he couldn't wait to bring up French.
I mean, look at him. I've had, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to give it energy, but I had a real person kind of. Because people see you on screen, and that's just, it's human. They, you know, they can fantasize about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I have had that in different degrees.
Does it bother you that every time you take a photo with somebody, y'all dating? I mean, we've seen you dating Tyrese. We've seen you dating friends.
I know.
You know, you're dating everybody you take a picture with.
And no man's going to say, that's not true.
I know.
You ask them, they just be like, ha, 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 you crazy, child.
I just, you know what? I try to turn everything into a positive. And it does get annoying sometimes. But I just, you know, think, you know, fans want me to be happy or something, want to see me with somebody.
Right.
Are you single? Because you just said that.
I'm single.
Oh, you're single.
Yes, I am.
Are you that hard and slightly crazy in real life as Ash is?
No. I'm the opposite. I'm a lover. Ash is a fighter. I'm the opposite, actually. I should probably be somewhere in between. I give people the benefit of the doubt.
So what do y'all hope for people to learn from this Shots Fired when it's all said and done?
You know, I want people to have conversations. I want people to be inspired. I want people to argue after certain hours. And ultimately, I want people to be entertained. There's some sexy moments, and, you know, it's entertaining. So I'm excited.
All right. Am I going to cry? Yes.
Yeah, you probably cry.
I cry. I'm very sensitive when I
watch. Yeah, you'll cry a lot, actually.
Okay.
And would you
ever that means you're crying too, Envy.
I know.
It would depend on the script.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
I'd be open.
If I was cast.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you going to be Dre signed?
She's gonna be my love interest.
How? Oh, she married. Unless her and Dre broke up.
I mean, she'll be a good side piece.
I like that.
My mister.
Yeah, a little side piece.
My mister.
I'm good with it.
Was it hard to remain professional around this beautiful woman? Like,
I mean,
you didn't holler one time. You didn't even try.
There was certain moments.
Shot.
I tried.
Don't
to be,
answer that.
Try to be professional, but she's beautiful, and we have a lot of fun. It's really been a great pleasure working with her.
So now, would you rather be with somebody who was an actor or not in the business at all?
No, I want to be with somebody outside of the business. The business is, you know, it's like it's so all encompassing. It's not like a 9-to-5. It's like your life. So I would like somebody who is outside of the business. But that's not to say that I'm not, you know, I'm open. Right.
You do seem like a proper person. That's like when French was putting you on like social media. I'm like, why are you doing that? Mm. And that's something you should keep to yourself. Mm. If that is indeed the case.
He's trying. He's trying right now. She's like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awkward.
Yeah. I get it.
So now, Lathan, Stephon, James, we appreciate you guys.
So thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay.
Now, don't forget to check out premieres March 22nd, 8 p.m. on Fox. Shots fired. Check it out.
And we can personally vouch for it because we actually have seen the first episode.
I got all 5 episodes. If you want them for the low,
no.
Get my password. You know?
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good
they
morning.
Can track that, by the way.
Listen.
All the gossip. The rumor report. With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Nicki Minaj got into it because of Party Next Door. The issue all started when social media people were suggesting that Party Next Door wrote what Nicki Minaj said, her lyrics for the new song that she has out, Regret in Your Tears. If you guys didn't hear it, this is a song that people are saying is about Meek Mill and her relationship with him. Here's a little snippet of that.
When bad, but you ain't used to that. You gon' look around and make me do you bad. Used to creep, but you threw the bag. I count up the cash and bring you the bag.
Terrible record.
All right, well, she tweeted out, Party Next Door had nothing to do with Regret in Your Tears. N-word ain't never heard that song a day in his life. Bless y'all heart. Not sure why he was liking tweets. Maybe it was just funny to him. Maybe he was hacked. LOL, either way, this too much F-O-H.
By the way, Party Next Door, you should be happy your name isn't attached to that record.
Now, Party
that
Next Door said, I'm a fan of Nicki Minaj. We have a song together. I hope she's as cool as I've always imagined. And then he wrote, party over everything. All right. Nicki Minaj then posted on Instagram, it's crazy how the song was trash, but now since y'all think Party Next Door wrote it, it's fire. It's crazy how much people hate her and can never give her credit.
By the way, Miss Minaj, I don't care who wrote it, it's trash.
She then deleted that Instagram post.
I don't care if Party Next Door wrote it, Party Behind Me, Party In Front of Me, Party, I don't care who wrote it.
So the three songs that she put out, you didn't like any of them?
I like the one with Wayne by himself. I mean, it wasn't like crazy.
They all,
to me,
they all cool. But they all like, just mediocre. Nothing. No smash.
No. Yeah. Trash. Mediocre. I don't know. Mediocre. Trash. Same thing to me.
All right. The police are looking to talk to Chris Brown, the LAPD. Now they're saying that the whole neighborhood that he lives in San Fernando Valley, they've had it with all the complaints, and he is always thumbing his nose at the cops. And there's been all kinds of gripes against him: a lot of noise, drugs, assaults, different vehicles being driven recklessly. So they want to at least speak to him and lay out all those problems and hopefully be able to work through them. So hopefully he can work that out. Now, Justin Bieber, in the meantime, was upset. He was trying to eat, and a fan was trying to take a selfie with him, which is a little bit rude. Let him eat
his
food.
Justin Bieber. He signed up for this.
Right.
He's a superstar. These young girls love him. He signed up for this when he was a kid, and it first happened. He was so happy with it. You just can't get tired of it.
Well, here's what he said.
Look at your respect level. Look at your respect level.
Come on.
Look at you. Take a sip.
Yeah, he said that.
Won't you respect the public and not eat in public then? If you're the type of superstar that you know going to cause riots, you know people going to run up on you, don't eat in public. You don't see Beyonce just out eating in public. I can't think of no times I've seen Beyonce just out eating.
I think maybe one time they were on in the city eating. Like, you see them on the outdoor cafe. I just seen pictures, outdoor cafe, but nobody took a picture.
Be aware of your celebrity. Be aware of your star power. Don't get mad at people when they run up to you and you in a public restaurant eating. You in Chick-fil-A and you mad at people running up
on you. He was not in Chick-fil-A.
Where was he?
He was trying to get inside his car.
He was walking to the car eating.
He had some food in his hand while he was trying to get in the car.
Oh, that's fair game all day.
Yes.
You're lucky he didn't get your ass grabbed.
See, if you have Revolt TV, you can see him getting inside the car.
Yeah, that's fair game.
And that's where she was trying to take the selfie. All right. And Tyra Banks is going to be hosting the next season of America's Got Talent. We told you all the drama with Nick Cannon, and he's out, so that's who have, they've chosen to take over, which is crazy. They were talking about different people like Marlon Wayans that were in the running for this, but it looks like they've settled on Tyra Banks. All right. Nick Cannon, meanwhile, had this to say about the show.
I'm not defined by a job. They get caught in a sense of, like, you should be happy to be here. It is the dream job. Things like this don't come along, everyone, but things like that don't define me. When people start to put restraints on my creativity as an artist, I just have to stand on my square and stand for something. And money isn't one of the things that moves me or inspires me. I love it. I embrace it the way everyone else does on this planet. I don't make decisions based off of it. Everything I do is calculated.
Okay. All right. So, hey, fair enough.
I'm going to drop one of Clue's bombs for Nick Cannon. I'm not mad at him. As long as he's making decisions that make him sleep well at night. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Day, right?
And I saw him at the Kids' Choice Awards with the twins, him and Mariah. Super cute.
I did see him on stage. I was watching the Kids' Choice Awards with my daughter Saturday, and I did sit there and say, all right, Nick, you're getting too old for this. Because he was doing, like, this dance battle with John Cena.
No.
And John Cena supposed to look doofy because he's the big diesel wrestler.
Right.
I'm like, Nick, you ain't supposed to look as doofy as John Cena.
But he's still having fun. He's got kids.
He got kids. He do it for his kids.
Yeah.
His kids weren't on stage with him.
They all dressed alike.
But they're watching.
I'm sure they were excited about it.
Yeah, it's their dad.
Okay.
He's supposed to act goofy.
You ain't put on a stupid costume yet?
Who?
You.
What you mean?
For your kids.
For like, kids.
I just ordered me a stupid costume for Halloween yesterday.
All see? Right, see? So you're not too grown for that.
Right now?
I'm getting a jump on it.
For October?
It's going to take about 10 weeks to get here.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how you know it's stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, okay. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Here. I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Monday, March 13th goes to Pamela Hudak. Hudak.
Hmm?
Now, you probably don't know who Pamela is, but she's 55 years old and she's about to get married. Now, I'm all for people getting married, regardless of the age. Okay, if you want to lock it down at 55, do you, boo? It's never too late to create a new beginning or whatever they say to make people feel good about that kind of late blooming. Okay, but the thing is, it's not that she's getting married. It's about who she's getting married to. Now, we all have those family members who will warn us about the people we plan to marry before you even announce you marrying them. When you dating them, they will let you know that he or she is not the one. What makes a person unmarriable? Let's see, chronic infidelity, or maybe he or she has quite a few kids already, or maybe you talked to the person's previous mate and they told you how horrible a spouse the person was. Maybe they were abusive. Who knows? It's all kind of red flags that can be raised that will make you pump your brakes when it comes to who you want to spend the rest of your life with. Pamela Hudak is clearly one of those people who doesn't hold someone's past against them because she is about to be the third wife of Robert Blake. Now, kids, you may not know who Robert Blake is, but your great-grandparents do. Robert Blake is 83 years old, and your great-grandparents probably know him as Beretta. Now, let me tell you about Beretta. In 2001, Robert Blake's second wife was shot to death in his car. Now, they had just finished eating at a restaurant when she was shot to death in his car. Robert Blake claimed he left with his wife, but as they walked down the street, he realized he forgot his gun, that it fell out of his pocket in the booth where they were sitting. He says he went back to get it, and when he got to the car, Bonnie was already dead. Now, Robert Blake got arrested for that murder, and prosecutors claim Blake hired a hitman for $10,000, and detectives found $10,000 in his dresser drawer. Now, it's another plot twist. The woman he's marrying now, Pamela Hudak, actually testified on Blake's behalf, saying he routinely kept large sums of cash in his house. She said during the trial, they actually dated for 2 months in 1991, and she later lived in Blake's guest house in 95 and 97. I can't make this kind of stuff up. Play the news report.
The actor reportedly filled out an application for a marriage license here yesterday at the Beverly Hills courthouse, and he was with the woman he plans to marry, who testified during his murder trial. The 83-year-old will reportedly marry 55-year-old Pamela Hudak. The two have reportedly known each other for decades and even dated briefly back in 1991, something Hudak revealed while testifying on Blake's behalf while he was on trial for the murder of his second wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley.
Pamela Hudak! I understand you're 55 years old and you may feel like time is running out. You want to get married before you die. But aren't you a little concerned that you could jump the broom with Robert Blake and that marriage becomes the reason you die? I'm not no player hater, okay? I like to see people win, but if Pamela Hudak was my friend, I would be hating on Robert Blake. See, there's a couple things that make you unmarriable. Being arrested for killing your wife is one of them, okay? Just like O.J. Simpson, you don't want to be his wife or his ex. When he gets out this year, allegedly, and he starts dating some pretty blonde, we're going to be looking at her like, yeah, it's only a matter of time before they find you bloody in pieces somewhere, okay? Pamela Hudak, you are old enough to know that smart people learn from their own mistakes, wise people learn from the mistakes of others. Robert Blake's second wife is dead. Does anybody know what happened to his first wife? You might need to look into these things, Pamela. Third time's the charm, my ass, okay? See, I don't go to horror movies. The reason I don't is because I don't like paying people to scare me. But the ones I have seen make me cautious about certain things and make me stay away from certain things. Nightmare on Elm Street had me scared to sleep.
Love that.
Okay? But couldn't avoid sleep. All right, Jaws made me cautious of the water because I was scared of sharks. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I still love getting in the water. I'm just cautious. Get Out made me terrified of white people. If I can avoid any of these things, I try my hardest to, okay? But I can't, all right? I would think Pamela Hudak's spider senses would be going off right now because you are the third wife of a man who was accused of killing his second wife. And once again, do we know what happened to his first wife? Where is she? Is she alive, okay? All I'm saying, all Robert Blake's wives seem to have had an expiration date. And Pamela, I wish you the best. But I can't help but think, bitch, you next. Please give Pamela Hudak the biggest hee-haw, please. Wish you the best, though.
All right.
But you can understand why I would feel like she could possibly be next, right?
It's one thing to have a thrilling relationship. It's another thing to be scared for your life.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
800-585-1051. Just asking, when you're in a new relationship or in a relationship, should the person's past be held against them?
Yes, it should.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about new relationships. Should their past, if you're dating somebody, be held against them? Whether they maybe they allegedly raped, allegedly was abusive, allegedly did something to a child, allegedly killed.
Yes.
That's what we're asking. I say absolutely positively.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, by the way, everybody's past is used against them, especially when you're in a relationship. When you're in a relationship with somebody and you hear about things that they did in their previous relationship, if they killed or got accused of killing their wife, they were accused of beating their wife, they were accused of molesting the children in the house, I think that all red flags should be raised, and you are a damn fool if you date somebody like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Hello, who's this?
Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Now, we're talking new relationships. If the person you're dating, is their past held against them?
If mine's getting held against me right now.
Oh, I used to be a hoe?
Yeah, I was with a brother for like 7 years. We broke up, and now I'm dating a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a child by the first man. And it had to come up this weekend.
Well, you got to understand, now's a rough time because everybody's seen the movie Get Out, baby. So whenever they see a black person with a white person, they think you're in the sunken place.
Yeah, but like you said, like he's not my type. Why am I even messing with him? Like, that's not even fair. Like, I'm with the person for a person.
Okay.
Do you suffer from nosebleeds?
What?
Yeah. And I said, just because I date a white guy now doesn't mean that I'm against everything, like dating black guys ever again. But
you can just date somebody because you like them. Who cares?
She just said she suffered from nosebleeds.
I think she was just yesing you.
She just said yes. She didn't really listen to you.
She's in a sunken place.
Ask me again. Take the phone.
This is all I want you to do. Take your phone, put the flash on it. And take a picture of yourself and make sure the flash get in your eyes right now.
Stop it.
Tell me how you feel about your white man after that.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Ray calling from Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Monk's Corner 843, what's happening?
What's happening?
Yeah, really
hype. Population of 1,000.
Really hype. I met Charlamagne's cousin, 9, too, 000. By the way, over the weekend.
Did you?
He's from Monk's Corner. He said he was Charlamagne's cousin.
Who's my cousin?
He was in San Francisco taking pictures.
I ain't got
pictures.
No family in San Francisco.
He's like, tell my cousin Charlamagne I said hi.
He lied to you.
Now, when you're in a new relationship, bro, should a girl's past be held against him?
Hey, you know what? I'm actually dating a girl right now, man. And she, the last three boyfriends died.
Whoa.
Now, that's you a little weird.
How they die?
Yeah.
So how you enjoying your last days, my brother?
All of them got shot and killed. You know, she's from Columbia, so all her boyfriends got shot and killed. And I've been with her for almost a couple of months. But
oh, you crazy.
Get out.
How you enjoying your last days?
Get
man?
Out.
Well, I mean, she cool now. You know, I mean,
now.
It was their situation. And, but, right. I mean, I ain't been in no situation with her or nothing like that. So
yet.
Let me tell you something. Man, you need to dump that bad luck Metro bitch. Okay, the Metro is Columbia, South Carolina, for those who don't know. Dump that bad luck Metro bitch, all right? If you come on, man. Three guys done got shot and killed that she been with.
Yeah, you a little fool, bro.
The bitch bad luck, bro.
Stop calling her a bitch.
It was her past, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
What's your name, bro?
Well, we don't want you to be the past either.
My name is Ray.
Ray what? We going to remember your name. We going to see this in the news. Ray what?
I don't
want to
get my last name.
All right,
man. Ray got a few more days left on this earth.
Yeah, poor Ray. Now, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is the past will always come back to haunt you, whether it's to teach a lesson, remind you of forgotten feelings, or to just be a bitch.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about Beyonce. She did something exciting for some young dancers. We'll tell you what she did. Also, Ciara was involved in a car accident over the weekend. We'll give you an update.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Club.
So listen up. Well, Beyonce's with her mother, Tina Knowles, at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater show that was Saturday night in L.A. at the Music Center. And that's when Tina Knowles had her Tina's Angels. That's a group of girls that she mentors with her. And Beyonce went backstage after the show. So you can imagine if you're an Alvin Ailey dancer and Beyonce shows up backstage, how exciting that is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the dancers were so excited they just dropped to the floor because that's Beyonce. You know, so that was a beautiful, nice thing to do and a nice surprise.
Nice, huh?
Drop on a cruise bomb for Beyonce and
dance troupe.
Tina Knowles, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter. That's my last name.
Now, we've been following this whole young Dolph situation ever since his minivan, which was, by the way, bulletproof. He has two bulletproof vehicles, SUVs, that were shot at during CIAA weekend in Charlotte. Now, detectives are saying that they are close to resolving what happened. According to the deputy chief Estes, he said, we are exploring the possibility that this involves some sort of groups related to the entertainment industry. There's some evidence that we've collected, of course, shell casings and other evidence that I won't specifically mention, but we are well on our way to some sort of resolution. So they said that there was some high-powered weapons that were used. They said there was over 100 rounds of gunfire that were exchanged between both parties during that incident.
Oh, they said exchange. So they shot back.
Yes.
You don't say it was some high-powered weapons that's put out 100 rounds? Wow.
They actually seized a minivan that crashed at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got some weapons from that vehicle also.
But no people yet.
They said right now they're tight-lipped about the investigation, but they're well on their way to resolving it. So it could happen. Now, young Dolph spoke on it previously. Here's what he said.
Whatever was going on, they couldn't do it. They couldn't. In Memphis, it's a thing called people tricking people out the streets. Get people unfocused on what they're doing. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dolph built himself up and built himself into becoming a superstar. And all that us throw Dolph off right quick. He doing too much. Come on now, man. The city can't say, they mentioned Memphis. They say, Dolph, we can't be on now. He doing too much. Don't get mad at me when I'm doing my thing.
I think you should just kind of thank God and keep it moving.
Well, he's going to release an album called Bulletproof that's supposed to be released on April 1st with 10 tracks. And the listings are, these are the track listings, 100 Shots. The next song is In Charlotte. Next song, But I'm Bulletproof. Next song, So F 'em. Then it's That's How I Feel. I'm So Real, I Pray for My Enemies. I'm Everything You Want to Be, So That's Why You Envy Me. And the last song is SMH.
Ain't no song called Thank You, God. Ain't no song called Thank You, Grandma, for praying for me or whoever praying for him.
But let's think about it. There's some horrible-ass shooters. They shoot 100 shots. And nobody
rounds
did it.
Back
he had
and
a
forth
bulletproof
exchange.
Truck.
But they were exchanging shots.
Oh,
and
yeah,
nobody got hit.
That's always how it goes down.
Not except one for, person?
Well, usually it's somebody that don't deserve to get hit, like a little kid
right. Or
somebody's mama. But he should really name the album Bulletproof Truck because young Dolph himself is not bulletproof.
All right.
Be
well,
specific.
He just name it. Thank God. That's what he should name it.
How about not even talk about it? I mean, if you want to talk about it in your rap, cool, but you don't got to make a whole project about it. Like, you're kind of inviting that more of that energy into your life by doing this.
Well, fortunately, nobody was injured, but it should be a wake-up call. Like, come on, guys.
Ain't that the second time that happened?
Yep.
All
right.
All right, Ed Sheeran is going to be guest starring on Game of Thrones.
That's dope.
He looked like a hobbit. Is that the show with the hobbits?
I don't know. You know what? I never watched Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings. Okay. Yeah.
So Game of Thrones does return on July 16th.
How could he be in that, though? Like, what would he play?
He's probably going
to... I don't know who he's playing.
I don't watch that show, so I don't know.
But they said for years they wanted to get Ed Sheeran on the show because he's one of the favorites of the star Maisie Williams of the show, so they finally got him.
Oh, drop one of Clues Bombs for our guy, Ed Sheeran.
He's going to probably be a guest star.
I would love to see it. I mean, you can't have guest stars in that. It's like this from the medieval times, like, right? Yeah, you can't have no...
He can't play a character from the medieval times, Envy?
It would be weird.
Why would it be weird?
This would be weird.
You do realize all the people that's in there now is from this era, too, right? They're not from actually medieval times.
Yeah, I know, but Ed Sheeran is so now. Like, you would look at him as now.
It's called acting.
I don't know.
Acting.
I can't see it.
Acting.
I cannot see it.
All right, everybody excited for a new Drake album. He went on Instagram, and he posted 5 hours ago a picture of More Life. And he said March 18th. So that means More Life will be released on Saturday, March 18th.
I mean, if you're a Drake fan, I'm sure you're excited. I've never been a Drake fan, so.
You're going to listen to it, though.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to listen to it for the culture. Absolutely.
Could be a great album.
I can't wait for it.
All right, Ciara was involved in a car accident over the weekend. She's pregnant, and she's in her third trimester, so you can imagine how scary that must be. Mm-hmm. They said she was driving her white Mercedes SUV. She was making a left turn, and then a gray Volvo SUV slammed into the front passenger side of her vehicle. So Ciara was clutching her chest and her shoulder, but she was fine. She was walking around. She was on the phone. The drivers exchanged information. Neither of them was seriously injured, but could have been a lot worse. So fortunately, prayers with Ciara. Everything is fine. The driver was illegally in the bus lane and hit the right side of her car, is what happened.
Is everything good with the baby and all that?
Yes, Russell Wilson tweeted out, Mama Wilson and Baby Wilson are feeling great. God is good.
Good. Don't lose the payday, baby.
Oh, stop it. That's not nice. That's a horrible situation.
I'm happy for her. I'm glad nothing happened.
It's not a payday. She's in love.
Oh, it's a payday. It's still a payday.
She's financially secure, sir.
Yes, she is, because she's having that baby. Dropping the clues bombs to Ciara, damn it.
My goodness.
Glad you came out of that situation unscathed.
I mean, Ciara has a modeling contract.
Okay, all right.
She's a singer. Okay. Great dancer.
Oh, wow.
All right, Chris Angel, in the meantime, had a little incident at the Luxor Hotel in Vegas where he does his act. You know what? He had on his straight jacket on Friday, and he lost consciousness. If you can imagine how crazy that must be. He has to have all kinds of testing done. He did end up performing his show again later on that night. He was released from the hospital, but he was rushed to the ER.
And he did the same routine after that, too. He did the same routine.
The next day.
What kind of magician are you and you can't even get out of damn straitjacket?
Listen, he was upside down in a straitjacket. He tried to escape, and he was spinning for about 2 minutes, and he was unconscious.
But all his magic ran out of him?
I don't know, but he was only 10 minutes. He was only 10 minutes into the show when that happened. He had to cancel the show.
Close the curtains. Get him down.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club. So listen up.
Well, if you missed it, Remy Ma actually went at Foxy Brown on the Sheether song. Here's the line where she is referencing Foxy.
Talking ish about me to a deaf kid. And usually I have sympathy for them pair, but not when you hard to hear me from untreated gonorrhea.
Well, Foxy clearly knew that line was about her, and she put out a whole entire freestyle of a takeover.
Still in that dirty-ass TS piece. And pack off that dirty-ass BX beast. I'm a monkey off of BK Savage. Word. And I heard about that bitch miscarriage.
Doesn't sound bad.
Now, Foxy sounds decent, and I love the fact she replied. It makes the fact Nicki Minaj still hasn't replied look even worse. But you ever see those fight videos online when two daughters is fighting in the yard and one of the daughters is getting their ass kicked, so the daughter who's getting their ass kicked, mama comes running out the house in a bathrobe with one titty out and helps her daughter? That's the equivalent of Foxy Brown's diss record.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, it's not over. Here's some more from Breaks Over by Foxy Brown in response to Remy Ma.
The takeover, the fake sober, again, got a little shine, okay. Thank Mona, I heard your little rhymes, okay. Brooklyn, I'm on my 9-6, it's got the DNA Jehovah.
There's also rumors that Foxy just had a baby.
There's also rumors that Foxy hawk spits after every ball.
No, she doesn't. She sounds like that because she's a little deaf, so she can't really hear her own verses. Stop it.
Hey, Brooklyn.
Stupid, man.
All right, and if you missed it, Remy Ma was also on Wendy Williams' show explaining how the whole beef started with Nicki Minaj. Here's what she said.
wasn't necessarily, you know, the little subliminal stuff on records because I didn't care. I don't care about records. And, you know, I'd spoken to her before, like, whatever you say, you're supposed to say you're the best and none of y'all better than me, whatever. It was the behind-the-scenes things that you people would never know about, you know, as far as trying to keep me off of red carpets and trying to make sure awards don't go to me or she's not going to be in attendance or trying to get people to make bad reports about my album sales or just anything that I'm doing to make me look less and make her look better. And I have a problem. When you're trying to stop my bag, when you're trying to stop me from taking care of my children, now I have a problem with that.
So she basically is saying that Nicki was trying to stop her money. You know what I mean? And I guess that's how all the beef started between the two of them behind the scenes. She also says that Nicki's just not a nice person. Check it out.
This person, just based on what I've witnessed, is not a nice person. If I learned anything from this, okay, it made me realize that I have to be a certain way to everybody.
Okay.
The help, the hair, the makeup, the person that's holding the door, the cab, the car driver. Because so many people have been coming and the things that I've been hearing, like, I'm petty, like, really, really bad. The things that I've been hearing, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to say that, please. Like, that's too much. Somebody once said, and when they were in the middle of a rap battle, you got to be careful who you choose your battles with.
All right.
That is a fact, though. We know that. Like, everybody knows that. Like, Nicki definitely has the reputation of having a bad attitude. And I mean, at one point, you could chalk it up to her just, you know, being a boss type. And, you know, a lot of times...
Yeah, feeling like, as a woman, sometimes she felt like people didn't take her seriously.
Right.
Yeah. As a boss.
But I've seen her do some things to where I'm like, nah, she just got a bad attitude.
Like what?
Remember that time we was in here in the studio... And the cameraman was just in here doing his show.
Taking pictures.
Yeah, that was funny.
How many pictures you going to take?
She went off.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, let's talk America's Got Talent now that Nick Cannon is out. Who is in? Simon Cowell has three people that he's choosing between. One of them is Marlon Wayans, could be the potential new host for America's Got Talent. The other two guys are Tone Bell and Brandon Michael Smith. Now, if you don't know who they are, Tone Bell's a stand-up comedian and an actor. He's been on The Flash, Truth Be Told, Chelsea Lately, and Key and Peele. He also has been on Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson and Comedy Knockout. Brandon Michael Smith is a Disney kid. He was on That's So Raven, So Random. And he was also in Disney movies Starstruck and Let It Shine. And he played Little Richard in the James Brown biopic Get On Up. So who knows? America's Got Talent, though, has been having some issues. They actually had to cancel filming all this week because Mel B's father passed away after a 5-year battle with cancer.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that.
So they don't even have a host right now. They had to take a week hiatus, but they are trying to figure out who's going to be next up to host. And Too Short, we told you about these rape allegations against him last week about a woman who was actually signed to him, his quote-unquote protege who has done videos and other projects with Too Short. Well, here's what Too Short had to say when TMZ caught him and asked him about these allegations.
Is she full of shit?
Happy birthday. 100% for real. I would never.
According to Too Short and his camp, he never sexually went after this woman and has had no type of contact with her. She claims that she was a virgin and also said that she does have provocative videos, but that does not have anything to do with her real life, and she never gave any form of consent.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.